Okay, so we'll back out to the right.
And we're right in that stretch between Glenn Memorial Auditorium and the big roundabout, as I call it. So, from a common sense design standpoint, why a traffic circle or roundabout instead of a more traditional 4, 5 or more way stop?
Well, they're finding it's more safe, as an example. When you commit to a roundabout, you just can't blow through it like you could a stop sign. You're forced, as you commit to a roundabout, to slow down. Coming into the roundabout here, you have what's called a splitter island, which is this island in the center, which is forcing the flow of traffic to go counterclockwise. So the key thing, and here they did something smart, is put the yield signs in, because a car that's inside the roundabout has the right-of-way. So when you see nothing coming, you can go.
Okay, and now
we'll go off to the right, and let's go all the way to the left.
Okay, onto Lowell Water?
Yes.
Okay.
Now put your right signal on.
Right signal. So when you get to the where you need to exit.
Right, and that's where a lot of confusion comes into play, because people will sit there waiting because they're not sure on the smaller roundabouts which way a vehicle is going to go. So if you use your signal, then at least they know they can now enter the roundabout.
And that right there is a big key to a roundabout being a lot safer, is if people would signal
right
where they're going to exit.
Exactly. But most people don't know that.
Now, is there any rule of thumb as to who was stopped and yielded first? Who gets to go?
It's always the car inside the roundabout. So with a yield sign, you do not have to make a full stop. But it's the vehicle inside the roundabout that does have the right-of-way.
As an Atlantan, why is it that, you know, we get sweaty palms and get a little nervous sometimes when we approach a roundabout?
It's the unknown. For people who haven't, you know, experienced them on a regular basis, it takes some time to get used to coming into it, because there's just a lot of information that you're processing.
So it's okay. Really not a bad thing that we have a little confusion or apprehension.
Yeah, I'd be less nervous going into a roundabout, because if somebody's going to hit me, it's going to be a low impact crash. When people, the way they drive on the interstates, you should be more sweaty.
and that's when we don't give it another thought. You know?
Exactly. Yeah. You know, because you get caught up into it.
Is the state keeping statistics on roundabouts and
yes, they are.
Accidents?
And it's on their website, you know, where they're showing with the roundabouts that have been in, that statistically the number of crashes and serious crashes are way down. On GDOT's website, they do have a lot of information about the roundabouts, but that information isn't getting out to the general public. Before and after studies at 55 intersections had a 35% overall decrease in crashes, 76% decrease in injury crashes, 81% decrease in fatal incapacitating crashes for single lane urban roundabouts.
That alone is huge.
Yeah. So the numbers are, you know, pretty significant. But again, this information isn't getting out to the general public.
Right.
And I think this is important for people to understand it, especially at intersections where there are high accident rates, is that something that really should be looked at, you know, by the community from the standpoint of what's safe, but also aesthetically, the roundabouts are very aesthetically pleasing. You know,
sure.
It made a nice intersection right up here in both of the roundabouts. It's sort of, in a way, back to the future. You know,
yeah.
Because there's a lot of roundabouts in England and France, and they found that the accident rates have been lower. So all our technology went with sophisticated traffic lights.
Sensors kind of, under the
yeah,
road.
Yeah, things to be safer. We're kind of going back to some of the proven methods for years that worked and actually can be safer.